St. Lukers, and welcome to Your Week with St. Luke's, the weekly podcast of St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Orlando, Florida, where we dig deep with Scripture each week so that we can learn God's story in order to live in more connected community, love God in more passionate worship, and lead lives of more meaning and purpose. I'm Pastor Melissa, and I'm excited to be continuing in our series 24 and More, St. Luke's on Purpose. In these 4 weeks, we're going to be exploring what we as a church in 2024 can learn from Scripture about what it means to be a church in the context that we find ourselves in. This week, we're guided again by Dr. A.B. Arnold, who is inviting us to look at the church in Acts and God's vision for the church in Revelation and what those scriptures tell us about what it means to be a church living in witness together. Let's listen.
Hello. I'm E.B. Arnold of the Candler Foundry, a partner of St. Luke's UMC. Thank you for joining me for this four-week series, On Earth as It Is in Heaven, The Church in Revelation and Acts of the Apostles. Today we ask the question, what bears witness to God's kingdom? Let's start with our text in Revelation, which is chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, all robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." In this narrative, the church's ethos is discussed in very cosmic language that has the whole world in its scope. The believers here are a multitude from every nation and tribe and people and language. In essence, there is no one identity that does not belong. This unified diversity bears witness to God's kingdom. This is the thing, this big group of people made up of all groups of people, is the entity that points to God on the throne and the Lamb and says, this is it. This is what it means to bear witness, to point beyond oneself, just like a sign, witnesses to the truth of the thing it's trying to communicate. A stop sign can't make you stop, but it bears witness to authorities that can punish you if you don't stop. And there are natural laws, like if you don't stop, you could crash into someone who is also still going. So what a sign does is it points to this truth, and the thing that bears witness, the sign of who God is, of who Jesus is, and what salvation is this unified multitude, all these different people. And all of them are robed in white, which in the ancient church may refer to those who have been baptized. When a baptism candidate descended into the baptism water, they entered on the left side. After being brought up out of the water, they would exit on the right side, where they'd be given a white robe to wear, symbolic of having been made clean and belonging to God's kingdom. The imagery of this heavenly multitude all wearing white robes and yet representing every nation and tribe and language tells us that the thing that unites them in all this difference is their baptism. They sing about the salvation of our God, not just Israel's God, but that God is the God of all people. And everyone in this group, regardless of what language they speak or where they come from, has an equal share in the divine family. Finally, this group carries palm branches. In the Roman world, palm branches signify victory. And a few verses later, we find out that this multitude has suffered much violence and death. So how is it that this group celebrates victory? Because they follow the Lamb. And the Lamb has defined victory as giving rather than taking, as suffering rather than inflicting suffering, and as sacrifice rather than brutality. This multitude has understood that however much the kingdom of God is the true reality, and so its victory is the only one worth celebrating. Yes. It's the fact that it's all these different people together and all of them pointing at Jesus saying, this is the way to true victory, true celebration. I think you'll see some interesting parallels with what's happening with the church on the ground in the book of Acts. And let's turn to that now. This is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now this is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, and he was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he replied, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Then the eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. In the Acts narrative, the Holy Spirit instructs Philip to run into the middle of nowhere and then baptize this foreign dignitary. What's more, this dignitary is a eunuch, someone of a non-binary gender, and who cannot have admittance into the temple in Jerusalem, despite being a worshiper of Israel's God. After reading a portion of Isaiah, Philip connects the story of Jesus's crucifixion to it, and the eunuch asks what prevents him from being part of this people that follow Jesus. And of course, the answer is nothing. Philip immediately baptizes him before the official continues back to Ethiopia. Just like the church displayed in John's vision of heaven, here in this story, we see witness to God's kingdom that looks like uniting with those who are very different. Because this man represents everything outside of Philip's norm. Whereas Philip is a Jew, this man is a Gentile. Whereas Philip is a homeless prophet, this was a wealthy man in charge of the entire treasury. Whereas Philip is an Israelite, this man is a foreigner. And while Philip is a man who has been allowed into the temple, this gender-neutral individual was understood to not be a woman, but also not fully a man. The eunuch represents the categories that Revelation mentions. He's from a different nation, ethnicity, language, and culture. And yet, interestingly, this individual's baptism foreshadows all the other individual baptisms that we'll see in the book of Acts, including the very next one, which is the Apostle Paul. After coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit whisks Philip away to proclaim the gospel somewhere else, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Both individuals in this story leave in victory. The Ethiopian celebrates his inclusion in the community that follows Jesus. And Philip? Well, it's interesting. The whole reason Philip found his way into the wilderness in the first place is because the Christians had been persecuted and expelled from Jerusalem. To anyone looking on, Philip was not victorious, but exiled, outcast, and homeless. But having preached to the Ethiopian the Isaiah text about a suffering servant of the Lord, we know better that both these men were indeed victors. because both of them, despite their differences, were united in following what Revelation refers to as the Lamb. So, as we go this week, think about a few of these questions. Of whose story of faith do you see your story as a type of descendant? Who has been a person or a figure that has been prominent in how you tell your story? How did their story make yours possible? Another thing to consider is, how can the church be a wilderness space, a wilderness people? Notice that this story in Acts takes place in this neutral space. It's in between places more than any actual place. How can the church be that? What would have to change for us to share a God with people who don't look or act like us or even agree with us? And how can our diversity actually be something that we use to bear witness to God's kingdom, to the things that please God and that God has said matter? I hope you'll join us next week as we continue looking at the church in both Revelation and Acts of the Apostles.
Dr. Eby has chosen a text from Acts that you have probably heard preached a few times at St. Luke's if you've been around for a while, and it's one that always challenges us to think beyond our comfort zones. It's easy to think about our witness when we're with and around people who think and act and live similarly to us, or even in scenarios where we've prepared to engage with someone who is different. But I wonder what we can do to help ourselves prepare to be ready to live our witness in those moments we don't prepare for, and when we find ourselves outside of our comfort zones. I can't wait to hear how your conversations go in your Life Together groups this week as you wrestle with this question and all of Dr. Eby's questions together. And if you're not already part of a Life Together group or another small group, be sure to visit the St. Luke's website for more information about joining in so that you are living in community and exploring scripture with others. And of course, we'll see you Sunday as we witness in love through song, story, prayer, and giving, and talk more about being witnesses together across difference and division. See you then.